Welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
Riley, what are you doing?
He's just having a skook.
He doesn't know what he's doing. Oh. Our cat's being weird. That's how we're going to start the show this week. Talking about weird cats.
I thought you were going to sing, but I guess...
Nope, going to talk about weird cats.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, he's a weird boy.
Yes, he is.
But, I guess... You know, there wasn't really a lot going on this week outside of the Royal Rumble for us. Don't really have much to talk about in the front of the show. I can't remember if we did any. No, that's right. I went to a Vidya game convention.
That's right. Swap
conventions are much bigger.
Yeah. I was going to say convention is overselling it.
Oh, yeah. No, it was just a bunch of grimy dudes on a patio. Having a bunch of video games, sitting in boxes, and you barter, and which is actually kind of fun. I actually kind of enjoy that, being like, hey, so you got these two, one's 5 and 1's 7. How about I pay 10? Because games. So, and I picked up some stuff. I got a Master System copy of Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap, which actually works now. Remember how I was complaining that didn't work? I cleaned it.
Oh, good.
And it works. So I was happy about that. Because sometimes like I'll buy some of these things. I have like maybe 4 or 5 games that like I've bought over the past like year. And for whatever reason, they don't work. And I've cleaned them or whatever, but I really want to figure out. And I'm talking about like NES games.
Yeah.
Specifically, I feel like I never have problems with like Master System or Game Boy or Game Gear. No, I've had a problem. Actually, no, correct that. I have a few Game Gear games that are wonky. I have a copy of WWF Betrayal, which is the beat 'em up that WWE put out. Or sorry, yeah, that was still WWF at the time, where you're either Steve Austin, The Rock, Undertaker, or Triple H, and you just go around beating up referees.
Well, fun.
Yeah, it's on Game Boy Color, and I gotta see if I can get it to work. I don't know. I got gypped on it from the last convention I went to, but I picked up some stuff, you know, Rygar, Jackal, and I also picked up, because I'm a moron, but I also like having cheats when I play sometimes, because I picked up Marvel's The Uncanny X-Men for the NES, and that is a notoriously bad game.
Why'd you buy it?
Because it's the X-Men, and I just want to have...
It's a bad game.
I'll find fun with it, because the way...
Okay.
Because the way that it does is, like, I have the Retron 5, and the Retron 5 has, like, a thing where you can basically install cheats into your thing, so sometimes you have, like, the option of just playing, you know, without getting killed.
You're just like, hey, everybody thinks this game sucks. I'll buy it. Who are you, me?
Yes. Well, that's the thing.
I like to buy garbage.
But the thing is like I have this kind of, much like this show, when it comes to comics.
Change my Twitter bio to, I like to buy garbage. Because right now it's a pair of boobs attached to a girl. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah. It's very clever.
Well, no, I actually got it from this Twitter account called Men Writing Women.
Oh, that's right.
Where it's just like pictures of books where men have attempted to write about women, and it was one of them. I think one of them was a pair of boobs attached to a girl. And I was like, well, that's gonna make my Twitter bio.
Yep. No, I just have this thing where there were, like, when I was a kid, there was like a bunch of games that I would read about in like the Nintendo Power or whatever. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of money as, you know, growing up, so we only got games because games back then were expensive. I mean, you're dropping like 30, 40 bucks for an NES game back in 1990, 91 or whatever. So, you know, it better be good. You know, it better be worth your time. And, you know.
Never was.
It was.
I know. I'm just being.
I mean, well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I have like the game Rambo for the NES is notoriously bad and confusing and not a fun Rambo experience, not the experience, fun Rambo experience that the people on the Sega Master System and the Master and the Sega Genesis got. But I grew to like it. Mm-hmm. That was actually one of the first games we got when we got an NES. We got the NES with the Mario and the Duck Hunt. And then my parents also bought, we got Simon's Quest, Castlevania 2,
mm-hmm.
and Rambo, because my dad, Larry Merrick. I'm assuming Larry Merrick was like,
Rambo.
He, you know, not knowing anything about this
he
game.
He saw Rambo.
He just went, oh, Rambo, that should be a good one.
Yeah.
And then it's not. But, you know.
Hey, he tried.
He's not the one playing it.
He's also not the only person who got duped by that. Certain so many people were like, Rambo, great idea. And then they dropped like $40 on a game that sucked.
Yeah, that's kind of the bummer part of it. Eventually, you know, I got better games down the line. But it was always one of those things where I always wanted to play certain games and I never got a chance to. Because, you know, renting games, you know, we would do that as often as we could. But sure. It wasn't like it was one of those things where my parents wouldn't let us rent a game in spite of us for some reason.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm trying to put it this way. I think it was like. It's easy to rent a game, or maybe it's not, because I mean you gotta pay for it.
It was easy to rent a game.
No, but you gotta pay for it. You know, you're paying for rentals. Aww. So we go to like Video Factory, which was a local chain, and they would have, you know, NES games there. And
man, we were just rocking the supermarket.
We did supermarket
as
too.
As you can see, we don't really have local chains.
You didn't have any local video chains.
No.
You didn't have just the mom and pop stores?
You've been here, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, literally everything is a big box store.
Hmm.
Even your brother commented on it when he was here. Yes, the suburbs of the greater Colorado area are just filled with big box stores.
Yeah.
And that's how it was when I was a
kid. I'm surprised you guys still have some small stores around here.
No, I mean, we had Hollywood Video, that's a chain. We had Blockbuster,
yeah,
that's
I guess
a chain.
So. No, we had video.
So we were going to the grocery store
uh-huh.
to rent... whatever video game we were renting or movie.
Mm, gotcha.
So we never had like a shit. I mean, I'm sure Denver did.
Yeah.
But we live not in Denver.
Yeah. I used to rock some games that's from the supermarket, the Tops. Or sorry, Jubilee. It was not Tops. It was Super Duper before that. No, it was Jubilee. And then we would go to Video Factory. But also before that, we went to a place and I forgot what it was called. But it was a guy named Bob, and he had a video store. And it was basically, I think it was in the same shop that I went to, there was the comic book store Flight into Fantasy, which was pretty much my first like comic book store uh-huh. that I would go to back in the 90s. And I think it was the same spot where there was a video game store or a video store. And we would go there and rent movies there. And my dad kind of was like, you know, my dad kind of, you know, we were there so regularly, so my dad got to know the dude mm-hmm. there, or just, you know, on a friendly basis. One time we saw him at a Costco. It was very exciting. We was like, hey, it's the video store guy. And he was there with his mother. Sean remembers things.
Oh, man, this is our favorite podcast. Sean remembers things.
Well, we don't have a lot to talk about. So it's like, I don't, as far as the beginning goes, you know.
No, we don't. You went to a video game convention, Fast and the Furious 9 fucking trailer came out. We watched the Rumble. That's about it.
Well, I watched the Fast and Furious micro
teaser.
Which.
Fuck that, whatever. I don't
care. What the hell?
I don't care.
But I watched the teaser trailer, I forgot that he had a kid.
He didn't have a kid.
Yes, he did.
At the end of the last one, right?
Yes, he did. They had the baby, and they were looking, they were like,
was that his baby? I thought it was just a baby.
He had this was just
random baby.
No. This was because at the end of the last movie, because during that last movie,
they all run together.
What's her face? Charlize Theron captured this woman that Dominic Toretto had a baby, ended up having a baby with. Like he had a fling with this woman, and it was just this random like blonde woman. Right,
and she died,
and she gets killed. But then he saves the baby.
They had to jump off a plane with a baby.
Yes. Do it. Wait, is this the one?
Honestly, it doesn't matter. They all run together. They are all one movie now.
Is this the same movie?
Doesn't matter.
Am I?
Yes.
No. Yes. Wait. But is this the same movie where Jason Statham's fighting on the plane and he has the baby?
It has to be. It's a baby.
It's gotta be.
It's a baby plane movie.
Okay. And right, and the baby gives a thumbs up because he puts the headphones on the baby so the baby doesn't hear the guns because he's shooting everybody and he's just kind of like, what? Yeah, so is that to say, that's got to be a Fast and Furious movie.
I assume.
Okay, so. But Dominic finds out he has a baby he had a fling with a woman and a baby, and the Charlize Theron captured this woman, and then the baby, so the woman gets killed, but he saves the baby, and then at the end of the movie, they're all on the roof having coronas.
Oh yes.
And then what's his face? Kurt Russell's there, and all the crew's there, whatever. And they're looking out, and they're like, "What are you going to name the baby?" "I'm going to name it Brian," you know, because the baby's name is because after Paul Walker.
Can we talk about how like in this new movie is just like more wrestlers per movie than like?
Well, it's just John Cena now.
And The Rock. Isn't The Rock still in it, or is it because of the feud?
It's the blood feud between Vin Diesel and The Rock.
Blood feud. I can't imagine anybody not liking The Rock.
Fast and the Furious 9, blood feud.
Isn't it called like? It's something super corporate sounding. It's like the fate.
The fate, yeah, the fate of the fine. Fat, whatever.
Fate of the Fast or something.
The Fate.
Oh, it's something dumb. Yeah. I sent you the stupid poster today because I saw.
Well, because John Cena's on it.
John Cena.
Because it's John Cena and his movie star hair.
Yeah, well, now he's got boy hair.
But
The Fast Saga.
Yeah, now they're going. Now it's a saga.
That I don't like that tag. No. F9, The Fast Saga. So it's just the like if I call up tech support and ask them how to get out of this screen, they're going to tell me to hit F9.
I hope somebody hits F9 in this movie. Like Ludacris is like, "I gotta press F9 to save the world."
Oh, you know Ludacris has to press something to save the world. They gotta give him something to do.
Oh no, this computer doesn't have an F9 button. I guess we're gonna have to race to Samoa and get The Rock to build us an F9 button.
No, we can't talk to The Rock.
But The Rock won't be in the movie. We'll talk to Roman Reigns instead.
Oh shit, what if he did? Because then, I was gonna say, does this movie... Does this franchise...
Roman Reigns, can you build us an F9 button for a compact presario?
So, does this franchise have more wrestlers in it than any other non-WWE franchise?
Are you talking about WWE movies?
Yes.
WWE movies have way more.
I'm saying we're not counting those. We're talking about non-WWE productions.
I have to think about that, actually.
We're looking at three now.
Mm.
Usually there's just like one.
I mean, the Marvel Universe might have something. I mean, obviously you got Batista.
Oh, you got Batista, but like big names. We're talking
no,
like...
No, any wrestler counts.
There's stunt dudes. Those guys don't count.
They're not all stunt dudes.
No, but those guys don't count. I'm talking
no,
like,
they count.
You've got Roman Reigns, you've got The Rock, and now you have John Cena.
But The Rock ain't in it no more.
Yeah, but he was in the franchise. Oh, okay. I'm not just talking about random stuntman number 6.
Oh, brother. I mean, I guess if we're going to put that out there, yeah. There's got to be others, though.
Usually it's only one wrestler. It's like, hey, Rowdy Roddy Piper's here for this one movie.
There was a...
But he's not going to show up with his buddies. Whoever his buddies
are. What do you mean the movie Body Slam had multiple wrestlers? It was about wrestling, though.
Have I seen the movie Body Slam?
No.
Oh, well, okay.
I don't think a lot... It
doesn't exist if I haven't seen it.
Obviously, I've seen it. It was in 1987. Starred the guy, oh God, I can't remember his name.
I like this idea that if I haven't seen a movie, it doesn't exist.
Wow. That's like,
you know how many movies don't exist anymore?
Man, the gen timeline of film.
People should thank me.
I can't see.
You can only watch Burlesque and The Crow and The Craft. Those are the three movies that exist in my universe. Oh,
man, the Smithsonian's an empty place.
It really is. Well, there's a lot of books in it. There's just not a lot of.
Well, that's good for you. You like books.
I do like books.
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like there's got to be more wrestlers.
I'm sure there must be.
So, but anyways, this trailer basically is like, something's gonna happen. John Cena might be here. He's gonna show up in a bumblebee. Because now we're joining franchises. The Transformers are gonna be the family.
Yes.
Well, it's too bad. Actually, that'd be the best trip. That'd be actually, if all of a sudden, like, you know, Vin Diesel's like, I got a car that transforms into an alien. You know,
I don't understand why the Transformers franchise has not met the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Probably because of, you know, the studios and shit.
I mean, aren't they all one at this point? They will be one day.
Yeah, I mean, Disney's getting there.
Right? So eventually, we will get Transformers in our Fast and the Furious. Well, that's literally the only thing that makes
those
sense.
Because those movies are going to be going on forever.
They're never
going
to end.
They're never going to end. We got to get a new...
There's a fucking cartoon on Netflix about it.
We got to find a new Vin Diesel to replace the old one. No, you can
Vin Diesel's holding on until he dies.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not letting that go.
I'll be in these movies forever.
Nobody's going to be... Oh, that's the other thing that happened. The Bloodshot trailer came out.
Oh, that's
right.
Speaking
of Vin Diesel.
I saw that. We actually saw that because we went to go see...
Parasite.
We went to see Parasite, finally.
Good movie.
Good movie. I don't want to give anything away. You should see it. It's pretty pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
That's one way to describe it.
Also, like, a weird humor about it.
Oh, there's definitely... Yeah,
there's definitely some humor in it. And which obviously is intentional.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like one of those, like, you know, you're not like this movie's not supposed to be laughed at, but these moments are very funny. Anyway,
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's
so we finally saw Parasite, which was great. I really enjoyed it.
But for some reason, the Bloodshot trailer was before.
The Bloodshot trailer was in front of it. And I was like,
we're hoping the Oscar crowd gets a hold of my movie.
I don't know Bloodshot how I feel about the Bloodshot movie.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, we're going to see it.
Maybe we should find a Bloodshot comic and do it on the show.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'll have to, next time we go to Second of Charles.
I don't know anything about Bloodshot.
I know a touch of it because basically
he was 90s.
Yeah, he was 90s, that's Valiant character.
Yeah, that's what I knew.
And unfortunately, a lot of stuff in the 90s
that were
Valiant characters were not on my radar at all.
Right, same.
At least, I mean, now it's a little bit different because now actually I'll read X-O Manowar and stuff, sure. You know.
We've done it on the show.
Yeah, we've done it on the show. So, Bloodshot, though, I mean, he looks nothing like the, at least to me, he looks nothing like the Bloodshot that I'm familiar with.
What does Bloodshot look like?
Yeah, he's got like, you know, he's got like pale skin, he's got like a flat top, he's got a big red, like, you know, red circle on his chest.
Yeah. Maybe he does have a red circle, he's wearing a shirt.
That's true. Maybe, yeah, well, we'll see. But basically it looks like, you know.
It kind of looks like John Cena with hair.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Why didn't they get John Cena to play Bloodshot?
John Cena said no.
He went, no.
Like, seriously, doesn't this picture I just pulled up, honest to God, looks like John Cena?
Actually, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
It's very accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks nothing like Vin Diesel.
Nope. Looks like John Cena, though.
Oh, okay. But basically, I mean, it's stuff that I don't know anything about the character, so a lot of these powers of him being able to getting his face blown off, but then it immediately reconstitutes.
Yeah,
or whatever, like, it is.
Something, some sort of science something.
Because he's got
something.
Like nanites in his blood that
and
are...
And then he's like being reset to like do... Thing.
Yeah, now he's
being given like a backstory, so he thinks he has revenge, but he's really like doing someone's bidding. I mean, this is just based off the trailer. This is my gist based on what the trailer is showing me.
Hopefully, I'll find out my real past, which was a car thief. Yes, these universes are connected.
I'm not Bloodshot. My name is Dominic Toretto. And everybody goes, oh, shit, because that's the end of the movie.
Actually, that'd be great. It's like, we were kid, and this has nothing to do with the Bloodshot. It is a Fast and Furious movie now.
Oh, he's
Dwayne Johnson, you can suck it.
He, like, finds a wallet. And he like opens it and it's his license. It just says Dominic Toretto. And he looks at the camera and he smiles and then he gets in a car and he drives away. And that's the end of the fucking movie.
Why am I Bloodshot and I have a constant thirst for Corona? That's the only thing. They keep giving me Coronas because I guess I keep asking for them when I'm unconscious.
Oh, Vin Diesel.
Well, you know what? Hey, and that's kind
of like Vin. I do like.
No,
Vin.
I like him too.
I mean, he's ridiculous. I really liked Pitch Black. Actually,
I've never seen Pitch Black.
You've never seen.
See,
Pitch
that
Black?
Movie doesn't exist because I've never seen it.
No, I've seen it. Therefore, it exists. Oh, sorry, I saw it in the theater.
I thought I was going to try to set my own timeline.
No, can't. It's only the Jin timeline.
Oh. Okay, fair enough.
I would recommend. I really liked Pitch Black. It is a weird. Now, I didn't like Riddick.
Riddick, right?
That was dumb. But as just kind of a one-off spooky space movie,
yeah,
it's kind of cool.
I remember when it came out, it just seemed like a vampire movie to me.
Yeah, and I mean, I can get that. It's not.
But it's not.
It's just monster, it's people on a planet, then there's monsters. Alien monsters.
And Vin Diesel is kind of a monster?
Kind of. He's not human. he's some, because it's kind of like people are traveling in space. And there's a bunch of different planets and people are from different planets and whatever. But he's like been in jail for so long that he's like fucked up and weird. And he had his eyeballs shined so he can see in the dark.
Nice.
Because he was in like a dark prison.
Nice.
Which of course then factors into the plot.
Ah, okay. Very cool. Well,
I think you should watch it. It's good.
Maybe I should. I'll have to add that to my list. Movies out.
It's pretty quick too. It's not super long, if I remember correctly.
I have to also find the time to put that on when I'm not doing anything.
Yeah,
because I'm starting to streaming somewhere. Yeah. I was gonna say, well, of course, if we're talking Vin Diesel, I have to make a recommendation. Of course, Vin Diesel in the classic 2000 movie Boiler Room.
I know you love that movie.
A movie that I hold near and dear to my heart.
I know. When I first met you, you had a Boiler Room poster on your wall.
I know that. And that is the only movie poster I've ever owned. I am not kidding.
Uh-huh.
I am the only. I've only owned it, and that is because I love the movie Boiler Room.
Yeah. He's pretty good in that movie.
He's great in that movie. Yeah. There's a lot of my friends and I, we used to quote that a lot because Vin Diesel, one time, he's just like, in the movie, one time he sees Giovanni Ribisi trying to sneak into the office or whatever. And he's like, "Hey, kid, get the fuck out of here." You know, and so we would always yell that at each other. Uh-huh. And it's a good movie, though, if you could find it. Yeah, and I guess anything else in terms of stuff to talk about, the Royal Rumble, we watched it. Drew McIntyre won the men's, Charlotte won the women's.
Which actually was great.
Yeah, it was great.
I was very excited about that because, as everybody knows, well, as Lisa Sean knows, I called Drew McIntyre my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with it.
Well, yeah, he's not my real boyfriend, but he's my wrestling boyfriend.
My wife's wrestling boyfriend.
Because he's literally, Drew McIntyre. So there is an entire genre of romance books.
I was surprised to find this out.
No, there's an entire sub. There's pretty much a subgenre for everything. But there's a subgenre of romance books that is usually set in Scotland. It's the Highlander, you know, the Highlands, blah, 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 blah. It's all those Scottish characters.
Any Vin Diesel looking guys in there? Because he is part Scottish, you know.
Well, he is, but every single one of them really just looks like Drew McIntyre. Okay. It was fun.
I was going to say something about some other wrestling, but I guess, you know what? If you want to know more of my thoughts on the Rumble, check out this week's edition of the Steve Austin Show.
Uh-huh.
Because me and WWE Hall of Famer, Stone Cold Steve Austin, talked about the Royal Rumble at length.
Did you talk about how great Bianca Belair is?
We did, actually. We just spent a lot of time on her.
Yeah, she's great.
Because she is she's dope. So we had a lot of cool things to say about that. So find that. You can find it on Spotify now, too, by the way, because Podcast One is on Spotify, as is this show. So, all right, well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with our book for this week.
Who here likes comic books? Who likes superheroes? Who likes superhero comic books? From the 90s!
That's what I thought. Hey there, I'm Nathaniel Wayne from the Council of Geeks, and though I've always loved superheroes, the only time I was buying monthly issues was during the much maligned 1990s. I've decided to go through my personal collection issue by issue, and in my own little way, try to answer the question, were 90s comics really that bad? Chances are the answer will be yes, but I think these books deserve another chance, and they're going to get it on 90s Comics Retrial, part of the Council of Geeks podcast, available on iTunes and at 90scomicsretrial.wordpress.com.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is...
Bap. Sorry.
You're throwing off my groove.
Threw off my groove.
X-Men number 60. Oh, sorry, let me correct that. X-Men volume 2, number 67 from September 1997. This is a rare occurrence of us doing
a 90s book.
A 90s book that isn't in the early part of the decade.
That's
so
true. This is a later book.
Where did I get this from? I got this from, I don't know where I got this from. I got to think of, I remember we picked this up somewhere.
I don't know, but I just thought of something I forgot to tell you.
Oh, go ahead and tell me.
So, at Mile High, you know, they always have those Mile High comics. They always have those statues, right? You know, like they have...
Oh, in that one case, right?
No, like those big...
Oh, the big statues.
Big okay. Life-size. There's like a Superman, and there's a...
The Spider-Man.
And there's, you know, there's a bunch
of... Do they have a Sentinel? I think they do, right?
They have a Sentinel in the back. Mm-hmm. And so there's a local sculptor, and I don't remember his name, who does this stuff. So okay. Apparently, he just brought in his new creation.
Sorry. Yeah.
Which is a Lobo.
Really?
Yeah. There's a picture on it of it on their Facebook page. It's really fucking cool.
I want to go back there.
We should go back there. But yeah, he looks pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm going to go back there and actually look for comics.
Yeah. There's a Captain Marvel, too, isn't there?
The woman. Yes. And there's a... Wait, there's another
there's
one.
There's a couple of them. There's a Captain Marvel. There's a Superman. There's a... Oh, there's a bunch of them.
There's got to be a Spider-Man, too, I think. There's definitely a Spider-Man. I think there's a Spider-Man.
There's Captain Marvel. There's one other one, too, and I can't remember what it is.
Mm. Well, we'll have to check it out. Yeah. Shout out to that place we just talked about, Mile High Comics. That place where I bought a book.
Yes.
Anyways, X-Men Volume 2, number 67, September 1997, on the cover here. We have our villain, who is giant.
Yes.
He is big. It is Bastion. It's just Bastion.
He really doesn't do much in this book.
Well, he doesn't have much to do here. I mean.
Yeah, no, not here. I mean, I get we're doing the classic X-Men thing where everybody's talking to everybody else and we're threading through for a bigger story. But yeah. He is very prominent on the cover and he really doesn't do anything in this book.
Right. And that's fine because we're in the middle of this.
He's kind of got like a Guy Fieri thing going on with the goatee-ish. At least here. It's much more goatee in the book itself.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think what he would look like. But anyways, he is on the cover here. He's got glowing eyes.
Mm-hmm. He's punching.
And he's got just giant... The way that it's drawn, this perspective, like, he's just got these giant hands. Which, yes. I mean, I understand that he is bigger here than everything, but he has these giant hands. And we're in the middle of something called X-Men Operation Zero Tolerance, which on the cover in the bottom here, it says, on the verge of extinction. And then we have Giant Bastion, he is appearing to be harassing Iceman and Dr. Cecilia Reyes, who we talk about in this book.
Now, who is she? I don't know anything about her.
So she's basically like, you know, I don't know much about her because this is kind of like a time when I wasn't really reading comics much. It's the later 90s, so I'm kind of out of it.
Yeah.
She is, you know, kind of like she's a doctor, obviously, like an actual doctor. But
she's also a mutant, right?
She's also a mutant. She just kind of came out as a mutant somehow. She, you know, went out about doing her thing, but she ended up, you know, when Zero Tolerance came about, the Sentinels or the Prime Sentinels, the ones that look like humans that we come across in this book, are basically, you know, after her. And, you know, she has like a...
She's on the run.
She has a thing where I'm looking at on the wiki here. She can do cytoplasmic biofields.
We kind of see a little bit of that in the book. It kind of just looks like she has cling wrap on her body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and actually what I like here about this is actually something I really enjoy, that it has a open, like a gatefold cover.
Yeah.
And on the inside is, and I think this was like this for the X books at this time, or actually for like Marvel Comics at this time, they would have it and they kind of just give you like a previously in this book.
And like the characters.
Yeah. Yeah. So we basically have Iceman, Cecilia Reyes, Sabra, who is not the hummus.
No, she is not hummus.
She is a some sort of also like an Israeli mutant.
Yes.
Who has super strength. We get to hang out with her in the beginning here. Charlotte Jones, who is basically just a police detective that sort of befriends the mutants around this time. Professor X and the aforementioned Bastion.
Yes.
And basically we have Iceman and Cecilia Reyes being hunted by these Prime Sentinels, and then we start off in Israel, where we have we just see Sabra.
Yeah, she's like, it's dark, she's in some sort of compound, and she is on a computer, And she's got, because she's like some sort of special agent or something.
Yeah.
So she's like on a computer and she's thinking about like her son is dead and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. And she's doing, she's stealing, data-est secrets, whatever. So she does that and she gets a CD-ROM because it's the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And then
Intel.
And then she just breaks the computer screen and leaves. And if anybody remembers 90s computers, if that wasn't a Mac, it ain't doing shit. You're just breaking a screen. She didn't touch the tower.
Oh,
the
no.
The computer's fine.
Well, she, it's funny if she just didn't shut it off and it's just, you know, somebody just gets it's a new fine. Monitor and it's like, oh, now we know everything.
Yeah, she just, so she breaks the monitor and whatever and she walks out.
Yeah, so basically she's gotten word about this stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, because I guess a plane has crashed that has X-Men on it, or it's been intercepted or something.
Yeah, and then also like this whole thing with Bastion and the Zero Tolerance was basically like a Sentinels hunting mutants. And Bastion is kind of like a prime Sentinel himself. But he passes himself off as a, like a legit human who is, you know, so, and he's very, you know, he's basically, you know, doing the ongoing struggle, you know, enhancing the ongoing struggle that the X-Men face of being prejudiced at because they're mutants. Mm-hmm. So, so Sabra, she just, you know, she gets in the car with, you know, she leaves and she gets in the car with some other folks. I don't really know.
Yeah, so I think they're like people who were working with her, and she like gets in the car and immediately one of them pulls a gun on her and's like, hey, you just stole information, give it to us.
Yeah, because
it's like, and she's like, I'm not giving you the disc. And they're like, well, don't lie, we know you stole it. And she's like, I'm not lying about stealing it. I just said I'm not giving it to you.
Yeah.
And that's when we find out that the people who were in this car with her are Sentinel robots.
Yes.
That look like people.
I do like here this driver, though, that turns around and she this is funny because it's coming from a Sentinel.
Yeah.
And it's also being spoken in Israeli.
Yeah.
And she says, stop yutzing around back there. Which I wonder what the Israeli for yutz.
I think it's just yutz.
Maybe it's just yutz.
It's just yutz.
Oh, so yeah, but yeah, the shout out to
the word yutz.
To yutz. So, so she goes, you know, but she said she's super strong and
yeah. So is her power just that she has the power of kicking ass?
She kicks ass
because that's pretty much what just happened. So she just like lays everybody out, and the way she gets out of this car is she shoves her hand through the floorboard, grabs onto the pavement,
yeah,
goes out through the back trunk, and the whole thing flips over and it explodes.
Yes,
which is kind of great.
Yeah, she goes hardcore. She's got superhuman strength, superhuman speed, stamina, agility, durability, regenerative healing factor,
power of kicking ass,
and she can kick ass. So what do you do? I kick ass.
That's all she does.
I ain't never seen it.
Well, she just demonstrated.
Sorry. Also, there's a lot of gratuitous underwear shots.
Oh, so many underwear shots.
This is,
don't you worry.
This is a very spicy fight.
Yeah, her clothes get ripped off real quick, and she's just wearing a bra and panties by the end of it.
Well, yeah, it's like she wasn't wearing like a skirt at all. It seems like,
oh, you know, no,
just like
no,
she's was, barely like she got into this car and all her clothes disappeared.
Loincloth. It was just like a napkin.
Nuts.
Yeah. So then we cut to New York. We're in Soho, and they're like, "Hey, nobody used to hang out in this part of Soho, but man, how things have changed." And you're like,
"Also, David Crosby."
Yeah, David Crosby's here too.
David Crosby enjoying downtown Soho.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, that's just how gentrification works. So they are like, Iceman and the doctor, what's her name? Dr.
Reyes. You can just call her Reyes.
Reyes. Are walking around and he's trying to find her somewhere to hide. So they're walking around and he's like, look, we just need to like look like a couple. Mm-hmm. You need to kiss me.
Because they're being, you know, hunted by these, you know, these
people are looking at them and they just want to like blend in.
Yeah, but they're also being hunted by these
Sentinels
and stuff. Yeah. And I do. I'm confused because the noise
grab
it just says grab.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's like grab.
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 I'm grabbing my drink.
Yeah, it's grab in giant orange letters.
So he uses a moment to kiss her, but he's using it to look into like a building.
A building, an apartment.
And it turns out it's one of
it's Archangel's
many residences.
Because he's a rich man.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, he's like, come on, let's go this way. And so they go down a dark alley. There's like a mutant who hears them, who's like hanging out in the sewer.
Yeah, we get to see it's later on. It's Marrow.
Yeah,
which you know, she's coming around this time now too. Because again, this is a part of like the time when the X-Men were around. You know, when I wasn't paying attention at all to any X-Men really, and so we got all these new characters coming in and doing all this new stuff, and. They sneak into Warren Worthington's apartment
by like Bobby makes basically an ice elevator.
Yeah,
and they go up, and she's like, "I'm not going with you." And he's pretty like, cool. "It's too fucking bad." So they go up in there, and they go into the apartment, and he's like all blue and icy.
Yes,
and here comes this girl who
was a girl that's basically hanging out in.
She's like the house sitter.
Yeah, she's a house sitter, and he basically freezes her to the chandelier.
She's like, "I'm cold," and the doctor's like, "Well, I'll help you."
She's an old roommate of Candy Southern, who is like,
yeah, she's just basically watching the place.
What's his face? Angel's girlfriend. Yeah. That's been around forever.
So then we are with Charles Xavier in some sort of prison.
Yeah, he's in a military base. Actually, they're in a Hulkbuster base.
Oh man,
in New Mexico. So they're hanging out with Thunderbolt Ross, and they're holding. So basically, Bastion, I think, has been responsible for intercepting this plane,
right?
And he's got Xavier, Xavier detained.
He has like a collar on him to like, because he doesn't have powers at the moment.
I guess not. So
him and Bastion have like this talk.
And basically, he's like, "Look, you're out of control. You know, you're basically his thing is it's it's the prejudice, and he's trying to reason with him why he's doing this,
right?
And you know, he's not dealing with the mutants properly, and
right.
And at one point, he says to Xavier, says to him, he's like, "Look, I don't really think you're all as human as you say you are." And he's like,
"Right, he's yeah, because like, he's
not."
I think he kind of has some power.
Well, no, like, he's insane. He's an ex prime.
No, I'm talking about Charles.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. So he's like, I know that, you know, you want me to get my full powers back so I can stop you, because somewhere deep in there, you know that you're what you're doing is wrong. He's like, but I can't read all of you, which makes me think that you're not 100% human.
Yeah.
And that's why he's like, "How dare you? Blah, 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 blah." And he like leaves.
Well, he says, he's like, "How dare you?" But he's sitting there right next to Charles's face and his eyes are glowing orange.
Right. And you're like,
and it's like,
gonna go with you're probably not human. It's like,
I don't know. I don't know many regular
not
dudes.
Not 100%.
I don't know. I only knew one other dude. It was Vin Diesel. His eyes also were orange. My eyes are orange, and I'm also a car thief. I live my life one orange eyeball at a time. So we jump back to New York City, and we're in this apartment, and.
And I don't really like Iceman is just trying to like call a bunch of people. He's just trying to find somebody.
He's calling Muir Island. He's trying to find X-Man.
He's trying to find somebody to help him out here to get this lady safe. And then all of a sudden his powers just like shut off. And is it because the girl who's watching the apartment is actually like one of those sentinel things?
Yeah.
So she's just like has the power to turn him off.
I don't know why she just all of a sudden was like, "Ha! I'm a robot, and now you're in my apartment."
I also don't understand like how come they can shut his powers off, but they couldn't shut down Kick-Ass Lady.
Oh, it's good. Maybe they didn't think of it. They're too busy thinking of ways to use the words yutz.
Is she like an Alexa where it's like, "Alexa, turn off Iceman's powers"?
I don't know. I guess. There's a lot of incongruencies with these characters, prime sentinels. Because all of a sudden, it's like they just all of a sudden are like, "Oh, I'm a prime sentinel."
Right? They're like, "Before we're totally normal, and now time to start kicking ass."
Because I don't know why, like all of a sudden, you know,
why does Bobby lose his power, but like the doctor doesn't lose hers? Yeah, because he's like, "I feel bad." Like something is wrong.
I think she's able to. This Sentinel character robot is able to negate what she negate because she says like, "I negated Bobby's stuff, but now I got to do Dr. Reyes," and thankfully, since she hasn't, Dr. Reyes uses her powers to
her Saran wrap.
Yeah, her Saran. Yeah, it does look like Saran wrap.
Yep.
But it like comes up or like it's not even like
it's like not all even on her.
It's like on her just, knee and her face.
Yeah, and it's not maybe because that's only where she's getting hit.
That's true. I guess that's it. It's a very spotty field here.
She's like a bubble boy.
Ooh, bubble woman.
Bubble woman.
My favorite ex woman. And then as she's as they're you know she's defending them you know they're defending each other.
Yeah, fighting.
They get this. Sentinel robot gets shot
by
in the back.
By this cop lady.
By this cop, the Charlotte Jones.
Yeah.
Who looks like Grace Jones.
She does look like Grace Jones.
So Grace Jones is here. Sweet. Grace Jones, David Crosby, man, it's a party.
It is a party.
We got a lot. It's a good. We got some good music going. Bond.
Yeah.
Connections.
Sure.
So
we got half naked ladies.
So. We got a woman named after Hummus.
Band.
What?
I said that was the Bare Naked Ladies' first band.
What was it?
Half Naked Ladies.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bad joke. Enjoy it. It's like a dad joke.
That was a dad joke.
All you dads out there, feel free.
All the dads out there are popping for the humor out here. So, yeah, so Dr. This Charlotte Jones comes and she's like, look, I'll take you to the police station.
Yeah, so they go to the police station.
Yeah, you know, so basically they're at this police station and they're trying to figure out what the hell's going on, trying to figure out who to contact.
How to get out of here.
Yeah.
Because the doctor doesn't really want to be in here.
Well, she doesn't trust, you know, this doctor.
She does not trust the police. She says, fuck the police.
Yeah, I mean,
she's correct.
Things are dodgy around this time for mutants. So,
yeah, yeah.
And Grace Jones is like, look, I'm trying to get my son back. I'm trying to, you know, sympathize with mutants.
Yeah, I have my own personal drama.
I'm trying to get my shit done. And then we see, Bobby and Dr. Reyes in this, an interrogation room, and they're looking into, I do like this one scene where Bobby mentions a danger room and Dr. Reyes is like, what the hell is that? Because could you speak English? Like,
right.
You know.
And then there's just like a whole
bunch. It's like me talking about podcasting.
Pretty much. And then there's like a whole bunch of cops and they're all Sentinel robots.
Sentinel robots. And and then all of a sudden the precinct goes dark.
Yep.
And it's like, well.
Time for battle.
Time to get ready, and then we.
And then Grace Jones is also like some sort of mutant.
No, that's not her. That's Mero.
Sorry,
because
every woman in this book has the same kind of haircut. They all have the short hair.
We have Sabra, at least, Grace Jones, and Mero all have the same exact haircut.
That's why I'm like, are they the same person? No.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. It's so very.
I don't.
It's the same color. It's all dark. Everybody has dark hair.
Like, can we get different hairstyles? You can give her like a mohawk. You can marry a mohawk.
At least different colors. Hers is blue. This one's pink. You know, whatever, something.
It's good hairstyles in here.
Yeah.
So, the cop goes down to the basement, and that's where Mero is, and
with
she
her spinies.
Yeah, because basically her deal is her bones sometimes grow out of part of her skeleton comes out of her skin,
ow.
And she can like do stuff with it.
Does that hurt?
Maybe not to her.
Maybe not.
But yeah, that's it for the book. Next issue, Mero. Is she the X-Men salvation or doom?
Doom.
Senator Kelly thinks big. And and then we also get our letters page, the expressions.
That's not bad.
Which has been like that for forever. Iceman and Cecilia on the run and a mystery woman who may hold the secret to defeating Bastion. And that's where we end off on X-Men Volume 2, number 67. From September 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read the next issue?
Meh.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if somebody handed
you can say no.
No, if somebody handed it to me, I'll probably read it. It's not something that I hate, but I didn't actively love it. How's that? Meh.
It's the thing with X-Men.
I said meh.
I used to say meh.
Do you remember that Simpsons?
so Scourge, put Jen down for a meh.
Yeah, put me down for a meh.
There's a Mile High Comics ad here.
It can help you.
It does. They have a little wombat guy.
It's kind of like a cat. They do have a store cat.
They do have a store cat. Is her name? Is it her or him?
It's a her, and her name is Cambridge.
And she's very friendly.
Yes.
She's not friendly, but she comes by.
She comes by. I say hi to her.
You can say hi to her.
She's cute.
Shout out to.
I like a store cat.
Yeah. I'm always a big fan of that. I don't know if I... Here's the thing. I probably wouldn't want to read this because The X-Men are always so...
There's so much going on.
Intimidating to me once you get in past, like... Really, anytime. Let's be honest.
Well, it's always a mess. It's like, always like, hey, remember what happened 25 years ago? And you're like, no.
Like, I feel like any X book is like that because you got any, I mean.
You have to do research to read it.
Well, that's what I had to do. I had to bring this up just to kind of make sure I had stuff right.
And yeah. What's going on and like what the backstory is. And it is a lot. It is kind of like work.
It is a lot of work. I mean, even, you know, you got your Cable, you got your X-Factor, X-Force, your Wolverine, like all of those books are just like. Just you're getting hit over the head and you're just like, man, I should have started reading this book
before I was born,
like 10 years ago, because I have no idea what's going on. Because it's all, especially like a book like Wolverine. Like, actually, we've read a Wolverine before on the show.
We have.
And I think it went pretty well. I enjoyed that one because it had Terror Inc. in it.
Yeah.
And Terror Inc. ain't hanging around for that long.
No.
In a Wolverine book. You know, he's only got one. He's only there. He's in and out. So if we're going to, you know. We're dealing with that. You know, that's cool.
My phone case has Parallax on it, and I didn't notice it until right now at the very bottom.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Is it possessed by Hal Jordan's?
It must be.
Evil alien identity?
Be. Yes. Yes, it is.
All right. Nice.
Nice.
All right. Possessed phone.
All right.
No, I'm probably going to find other things to read. But that's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. Please find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram.
And also, please, we got to say the deal about the email.
Right. You got to find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and you can email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
Yeah, please send us correspondence. Yeah, please tell us.
We'll check it one day.
I check it semi-often.
Yeah.
And there's never anything there.
Yeah.
We do get a lot of stuff on Facebook, though. We actually had a lot of people respond to us on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes, about I Am Curious Green last week.
And where that came from.
Yes, thank you for that information, because I did not know.
I wouldn't know either.
Nope.
I would
now
have no.
I know.
Yeah.
Look at me learning.
Yeah, I know. Look at you. See, now you know that movie exists, yeah, but you haven't seen it yet, so maybe it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. I haven't seen it. Sorry.
Shoot. Anyways, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get the show. And tell your friends. Leave a rating review. Do all sorts of good things for us. And we'll do good things for you. And by that, I mean...
Content.
Produce content and talk about X-Men comics that are very confusing.
Content.
Content is king. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.